Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Jay Keaton, and I want to thank you for joining me as we walk through the Word together tonight. I have something that I hope you'll listen to through and through this whole message, and then listen to it again. I think, preach the last message on spiritual warfare as the Lord has given me for the church. Listen, this is a must hear what God has given me, and I hope that you will listen to this through and through. Again, I would like to say before we get started, first of all, that I'll be preaching at the Index Church over near West Liberty at 7 p.m. this Sunday evening. Come join us if you can. I really look forward to sharing the Word of God with as many people as possible, especially in these perilous and troublesome times we are in right now. Folks, you have to be scratching your head like I am, wondering what in the world is going on. How could things be so utterly and totally upside down? But they are. It is a sign of the times. It is biblical signs that we are seeing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You need to be spiritually aware and vigilant. We're going to talk about those things here coming up in just a second. I want to let you know something for the future. I hope to begin a YouTube channel in the not-so-distant future. Help me pray about that. It's something that I've been wanting to do for quite a long time, so we can have a set of videos in this Liberty and Faith ministry. So we'll cover some very important topics, such as the one we're going to be doing tonight. And I just want to get the word out. I want to preach to people. I want to preach the Word of God. There is like a famine in the land for the Word of God. You might hear me say that again in some church coming up, because I tell you the truth, there is a famine for preachers who will preach the Word. Not sound bites and not stories of the past, but the Word, something meaningful, something deep, something that it can touch the soul and minister to people and open up their eyes and make them to grow. Okay, that's what we're out to do. So I want you to pray with me that as many people as we can, let's get them saved. Let's get people saved and delivered. Let's get people living on the right path with God. Let's have a sense of urgency about us in this ministry. We are in like a sleepy town mode. We're worried about having fun and doing fun things and cookouts and all these kinds of things. Listen, folks, it's time to get serious with God and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Get serious. I want to talk to you right now. I can't express how compelled by the Holy Spirit I am to alert everyone to stay vigilant and stay prepared, okay? When I say this, what I mean is spiritually speaking, I want to talk to you right now, whoever you are that hears this. Listen, I'm talking, me and you are having a talk right now. I'm going to preach the Word to you, and I want you to tune in to what I'm about to preach to you with your spiritual ears. I don't want to preach to your flesh. I know you're going to hear me with your fleshly ears, but I want you to transfer what you're about to hear directly into your soul and allow God to deal with you and allow God to grow you. The Bible says some sow, some waters, but it's only God that can give the increase. I want God to increase you spiritually, and I'm going to give you everything I've got in these podcasts. And wherever I preach, I'm going to deliver the Word of God with everything, with all the anointing about me that I have, that God has given me. And so to allow God to grow you, for I am nothing. I realize that I can do nothing, but the Word of God, man, it can do all things. Jesus Christ can do all things. And if we believe, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I want this message to go through your computer, through your phone, however you're listening to this, and go straight to your inner man. That's who you really are. That part of you is so valuable. That part of you, not your flesh, not your flesh that you go spend all this money on for your clothes and your makeup and whatever else that you put on yourself or whatever you entertain your flesh with. God sent his only Son to justify, restore, and born again the inner man within you. It's so valuable that there is this epic battle that Satan is waging to wreck your relationship with Jesus Christ or to keep you from ever developing a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. He does not want you to grow. You know, it's like God, the angels, the devil, demons, etc., they all understand what's at stake. But us silly humans, we forget and hardly pay any attention to the things spiritual, even though eternity is at stake, folks. Do you realize that? Oh, that God would open up our eyes to those of us that hear this message that I'm about to preach to you. I pray that God opens up your eyes and addresses your own personal situation. You all out there have a personal situation, have a personal life. You guys have your own problems. You guys are going through things. There's some of you out there going through family things, serious things. You're having problems with a decision that you need to make. You might be having a problem in a relationship that you have. You might be having a problem attending a church. You might be having a problem with your workplace. You might be having a problem with your finances. I'm telling you, all of that stuff revolves around spiritual warfare that nobody wants to pay any attention to. This is not a fleshly thing. This is a spiritual thing. The Apostle Peter makes it clear to us. I'm going to read this to you. In 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, be sober, be vigilant. Listen at that. Be sober and be vigilant. I'm going to talk about those two things. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There are a lot of preachers out there that preach, well, I don't really care about what's going on. God's going to take care. Listen, we're being told right here to be very concerned about what's going on. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take the veil from off of our eyes, God. Take the covering from off of our heart that Satan has placed upon us. Lord, this word that Peter gave was given to the church. Not to the world, but to those of us who are saved and believed. He is telling us we have to be sober and vigilant. Not one of these people that just don't care. And we walk around with our head in the clouds. Father, help us, God. Help us to hear the word of God, transfer it to our heart and souls, and help us to live it. Help us to, Lord, make these scriptures relevant to our daily living. And we ask this great thing in Jesus' wonderful holy name. The Apostle Peter, in this particular set of scriptures here, makes it very, very clear to us that we are the hunted. Yes, that's right. I said, you are hunted. Satan is hunting you. Demonic hordes are hunting you. They're going about seeking whom they can devour. That means you're being hunted. Yes, you. And all the people on this earth, including your most closest loved ones, hunted by an enemy that has thousands of years of experience on how to destroy human lives. Here you and I are, the average lifespan of a normal human being is 70 years, and we got to go up against this kind of an entity that has thousands of years of experience and tactics and human behavior observance, and he has practiced his craft to a perfection. He can destroy you easily. And if you walk around with your head in the sand, buried in the sand, and you are paying no attention to the things that's going on around you, and you just go to church and live this little life that you live, and you pay no attention to anything else, and everything's hunky-dory, and you don't give a second thought to anything, folks, you are target number one. You're like that little antelope out there that can't run very fast, or that little stay behind animal that the lion is about to get. You can't keep up with the others because you're just not that strong. You're the hunted. You are the hunted. What does he do? What's he want to do? He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy you. He has thousands of years of experience at this. How to obliterate the family. How to attack your children at school, at home, in their lives, in their relationships. Look at what's going on in our country right now. We got people that can't even identify if someone's a man or a woman. And we got teachers at schools and we got people telling their children, you don't really know what you are right now. Satan is attacking them. He's an expert at how to annihilate your faith. How to effectively tempt you into doing evil things, and how to bring persecution and torment to you and twist your arm to give up on God and follow him. You say, I would never follow the devil. I believe you mean that, but you don't understand that through these tactics and through turning you from your faith, he's causing you to follow him. Oh, I've seen it over these decades of pastoring. I've had to battle it in my own life. I know the devil. Oh, I know the old serpent, Beelzebub. And I know he wants to destroy me. And if it wasn't for the hand of Christ and the word of God, he would have annihilated me. Let me get on topic here with you. You are hunted every single day by an enemy you cannot see. As a matter of fact, this roaring lion analogy that Peter uses suggests that this roaring lion is very hungry. Understand that these demonic entities are never satisfied and are constantly seeking some sort of an inroad in your life. And you're going to not care. You're not going to be watchful. You're not going to look around. You're not going to evaluate things that you're into, things that you're doing, things that you're saying, things that you're watching, things that you're listening to. You're just going to live life. God's got it. It is exactly opposite of what the apostle told us. And you probably hear me say this over and over again because it's so incredibly taught out there today. Turn on your television and listen to a preacher and you're going to hear it. Listen, he said to be sober, right? I personally have never been drunk in my life. Usually when I say that, people are taken back and they don't believe me, especially the life that I've lived. All the sports that I've played, you know, and football and things of this nature have typically go hand in hand with those kinds of things. But it's true. As a matter of fact, I've never tasted beer or alcohol. I seen how it ravaged my two brothers and that it was enough to build a wall of resistance in my life. I watched, let me be just transparent with you. I watched as my brothers would be so drunk. They didn't know where they were at. I seen it. Often they didn't even remember what they had done. My brother would be passed out in the bathroom floor where he was puking in the toilet. They didn't recognize close friends when they were totally intoxicated. They were totally unable to be situationally aware. Their decision-making was total chaos and without thought and without any kind of any kind of understanding. They had no control over what they did, how they talked. They would oftentimes end up in jail. I witnessed all of this as a kid. I witnessed my dad having to go down to the jail and bail them out. I watched as their addiction caused them to steal from my father and take and hawk his guns and hawk his my mother's jewelry just so that they could feed their addiction, you see. They were so intoxicated. They were so addicted. I watched them allow Satan to use their addictions to kill them. Literally, folks. They drank themselves to the grave. I watched this with my own eyes. A tragic, tragic ordeal. Both of my brothers were outstanding athletes. Both of them could have been professional baseball, football, and my brother wrestled collegiately. Either one of them could have, if they would have set their mind and been, they were athletic. They stayed away from things that was bad for them. But then once Satan got an inroad in their life, I watched him kill them and really kill my mom and dad. I watched and hurt as they hurt. I watched the pain as Satan destroyed my family. I said all of that to say this. The apostles' first command in this verse was to be sober. Spiritually sober, folks. I have pastored for decades, and I can tell you that there are folks so intoxicated by the lusts of their flesh, so seduced by a worldly living, that they are in the same shape spiritually as my brothers were physically. They're in just as much peril. They're in just as much danger, only worse. We're talking about eternity here. Listen. I tell you, this is a very precarious position to put yourself in. The fact that being spiritually intoxicated could lead to a tragic eternal death that there is no end to for you, folks. Satan loves to keep you intoxicated with his trinkets of this world to distract you from the fact that you have a judgment day coming. Hell and heaven are in the balance for you and for me. Let me just say that again. Do you understand that hell and heaven are in the balance? The only way to be spiritually sober is to be dedicated to your spiritual growth by attending a biblically correct church, reading the scriptures, keeping your hand and keeping your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ at the premium as number one in your life, and having a pastor who preaches the truth and not sound bites and past stories and such things do not benefit you and are putting you in peril. One need to look no further than the whore of Babylon mentioned in the book of Revelations to understand how Satan's intoxicating wine affects people. Listen, this stuff is made in hell, straight from hell itself. It's brewed by the mystery Babylon, by the devil himself, spiritually speaking. Look at this picture of spiritual drunkenness in Revelations 18:3. Listen at this. For all of the nations have drunk of the wine wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Have you seen society lately? Have you watched what has been happening in our schools? Have you seen the videos of transgender men half naked, seductively dancing to our children in kindergarten classes across this country, committing to what only could be referred to as an abomination straight from the devil himself? Have you seen the recent burglaries in broad daylight where hordes of heathen, unsaved, break into stores and loot them into bankruptcy, and our judicial system does nothing but pat them on the back? Are you watching as millions of illegal immigrants cross our borders where cases of smallpox might have been discovered and many terrorist regimes have made their way in and we give them a home to stay in? I can say with authority that this country's leadership has drank the wine of the whore of Babylon. Surely you can see as a believer that it's no surprise to see this neo-pagan revival sweep across our nation and all the nations of the earth for that matter. We are a hair from total annihilation. You must be spiritually sober. You cannot taste of her delicacies that she offers to you folks, so to speak. I spiritually hope you're understanding what I'm saying to you. May the Holy Spirit enlighten your minds by the power of God. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would touch hearts as we're speaking this word, Lord God. Your anointing would break the yoke. Oh, they look delicious. It feels so right, your flesh says. It's the easy way. Listen to me. Be sober in the Lord and rebuke Satan from your life. Once you are addicted to her wine, you will lose all morality. You'll notice your moral spectrum beginning to slowly fade away. And your spiritual connectedness to God, you'll begin to compromise what is biblically true for fables and assumptions, and you'll talk yourself into believing things and coach yourself into justifying your actions and false teachings. And in the end, you will fall to the power of the whore and mystery Babylon. This would include your finances, your physical life, and that would include sexual immorality. You know how it is. Once you become an addict, listen to me, you need more and more and more potent doses to maintain the same effects. All the while, you're destroying yourself. So I watched my brothers do this. They started with the gateway things, as we say, marijuana, smoking a joint or and then it goes to something else because it can't fulfill the desires. And then so they go to something bigger and better. And then it go to something bigger and better. Then they have to take more and more and more and more of that thing to be able to get that original feeling. Satan will destroy you spiritually with the same thing. As you become desensitized to the evil that you first began, that struck your heart at first. But because you're driven by the lust of the flesh, you pay no attention to God's divine push on your flesh, the prod on your flesh, the goad of God as he pokes you and tells you, stop this, and you just develop a callus to that, to where you feel it no more. You are becoming drunk with the wine of her intoxication. The purpose of a pastor is to be first called of God to do what he is doing behind the pulpit. The second thing we are to do is to be led of God to preach biblical truth to our congregation. The word, folks. That's what we're supposed to preach. We're supposed to preach the word like I'm doing with you right now. We are to prepare the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. If your pastor leaves your soul in want, or shall I say in need of spiritual insight or spiritual food, if you feel like you have not grown, leave that place. You're living in the last days. You need spiritual truth, a church that's dedicated to the Bible, dedicated to God, not a social club. Run for your life, because eternity is at stake. Be somewhere where the Word of God is the centerpiece of all that is done and taught. Secondly, we're to help to bring people to spiritual maturity. If your church is full of immature Christians that have been going to church their whole lives but display no growth or spiritual maturity, this is another sign of a failed ministry or one that God is not present in. You have to grow. If God's there, you have the things have to grow just because of the presence of God. You cannot stand against the wiles of the devil if you have no idea about anything biblically or spiritually true. Let me move on to the next word, vigilance. He said, be sober and be vigilant. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, the word for vigilance is gregorio, gregorio, to watch, to give strict attention to be extremely cautious, active, to take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes you. That's the definition of vigilance. You are at your most vulnerable state when you are at ease in this eternal conflict that you're in. If you find yourself at ease and you're not really concerned about anything, that's a problem. I'm not saying you have to worry, because we're not supposed to worry, but Peter tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. It needs to at least be on your mind. Listen, I had a woman in another church that I pastored many years ago tell me she didn't worry about anything. She didn't watch for anything because God has it under control. She thought she was on spiritual easy street. I watched as this sleepy town lady's whole family was ravaged by the devil. I won't go into specifics. Her words are in direct conflict and contradiction by what we are told in these very scriptures right here. We're told throughout the Word of God to be ye ready, to stay sober, to stay vigilant, to always be watching. Listen, if you're not concerned, well, you better be, because Satan has already put you in a lulled state of mind. Look at what has happened. The book of Revelations clearly points out the different churches that were not spiritually vigilant, and Jesus was not pleased with this Caesar milquetoast point of view. Be ye ready, the scripture says, because in an hour you think not. Not being vigilant, the thief comes. When tainted preachers preach the slumbering message to the body, it's not a call to spiritual maturity or the strengthening of the body. It's the drunkenness of the wine of the whore of Babylon that's being offered. Let me say to all of you who listen, be spiritually vigilant. Be sober. Be ready. Jesus said of the man who, and I'll paraphrase, said, look at all that I have acquired. I will build bigger barns. And he said, thou fool, your soul will be required of you this night. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray for every person listening to this. I pray that they'd be saved, that they would call on the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for them, God, that they would be healed, delivered, lifted up, encouraged. God, I pray for them, Lord, that they would be ready and that they'd be sober, that they'd be vigilant, as the scripture tells us to be, God. Perilous times are here. They're not coming, they're here. And a lot of people are asleep at the wheel. I pray that there's one out there, Lord, that might not know you, that hears this, that they would ask you for forgiveness and repent of their sins and allow you to enter their heart and soul and life. I ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.